Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I'm a senior wealth advisor for Ellenbecker Investment Group and the founder. And this year we're celebrating our 29th year in business. I can't even believe it. And my guest today is Dan Burris. And Dan, you've been on almost that whole time.
I know. It's crazy. I started, I've started six companies over the years, but Burris Research, I'm in my 42nd year. Can you imagine that? Holy cow.
Oh, no. I mean, it's crazy. And I even think about doing this radio show like 35 years. And it's just, where is the time gone? And I got to tell you, I still feel just like I'm at the beginning of it, because I get to interview guests like you, who is not only a guest, but a friend. And I'm always learning something new. Always learning. And I think that that's been the key to both your success and my success in being in business so long and starting companies and doing new things, is that we're curious and we're learning. And you've always said to me, what is retirement? How do I retire from who I am?
I know I can't retire from being me. that is it. And you know, I have, because I travel around the world and do consulting and speaking for decades now, I get to meet a lot of people. And I met the person that's considered a global authority on aging. And the two big takeaways she said was, keep moving, keep thinking.
Yes.
And sitting is the new smoking.
Wow.
In other words, the more you're sitting, it's like it used to be if you just smoked about 5 packs of cigarettes a day. Now, most of us don't smoke, but if you're sitting, you're doing the same damage. So we got to get up. We got to be moving around. I know whenever I'm not on an airplane, I'm in a gym every day. And wow, that makes a difference, watching what I eat. Because a lot of us are focused on our lifespan. You know, how long a lifespan do I have? I'm not focused on that. You know what I'm focused on? My health span.
Yes.
Because I would rather have a long, healthy life than just a long life. It's kind of like Woody Allen, the comedian, said long ago, you know, death doesn't bother me. It's the dying part.
Yes.
So, you know, we don't want to, you know, spend a long time, just laying down with tubes and so on.
Well, you know, I always think to myself, I want to surround myself with people who walk like they have a place to go.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
You know,
well,
they're moving.
And actually, I mentioned in the beginning, I've been doing this for over 4 decades now. Holy cow. And one of the first concepts that I started teaching is one I'll just bring up right now because it relates to what we're talking about. And that is the future view concept. So here's how that works. And that is, how you view the future to a great extent determines the actions that you take today. For example, right now, some people are buying NVIDIA stock. Some people are selling NVIDIA. What's the difference? Their future view of NVIDIA. Some kids are thinking of going to college. Others are thinking of going to drugs. What's the difference? It's their future view. So how you view the future shapes how you act in the present. And by the way, how you act in the present will indeed shape your future. Therefore, your future view will determine the future you. And I believe, especially right now, with the worry of AI and all the things that are going on, which we'll talk about, and the divisions that we have and what's going on around the world and global warming, whether you believe in it or not, well, all that stuff has us seeing a pretty dark future. And by the way, if you see a dark future, you will get a dark future. So instead of just giving you motivational rah-rah, zip-boom-bah stuff, which will quickly fade, right, because then you're back to reality, I want us to realize you're not really seeing the future fully. A little quick story. When I was in high school, I think I was a sophomore, about five houses down, there was a kid that was about 2 years older than me. He was a senior, and he was working on his hot rod. And he was had his hood up working on there. I'm sure he became a mechanic. Anyway, I was walking by, and I walked over to talk to him, and he said, he's trying something new. Would you like to take a ride tonight? And of course, you know, my eyes went, whoa, of course I want to take a ride. And what he had done is he had put aircraft landing lights on his bright beams of his car. So when he turned the brights on, it was aircraft landing lights. So we went out on a dark road, no cars around. We had the normal lights on. He turned on his high beams, and whoa, you could see so far. What I want people to do is to put on the high beams. I want them to look farther down the road, because I call it the visible future. Based on a methodology I've developed over the decades, and we've talked about many times, and that is taking trends and dividing them into either hard trends based on future facts that will happen, or they're soft trends that may or may not happen. And by the way, I love both. What do I love about a soft trend? If you don't like it, you can change it. What do I love about a hard trend? And that is, I can see disruption before it disrupts, so that disruptions becomes a choice, because I'm either going to be the disruptor or the disrupted. I'm either going to be more relevant or less relevant. You know, there is no middle anymore. I can see problems before I have them, so I can pre-solve them, or I can let that go. And I'll give you a quick current example. 2 years ago, when AI, which has been around for decades, by the way, but when generative AI came out with OpenAI's launch of ChatGPT, I was interviewed in New York, and they asked me, will humans be replaced by AI? My answer was, humans will be replaced by humans using AI. And right now, we have more disruption slash opportunity, depends on how you look at it, right in front of us, happening faster than ever before, and AI is driving it, which means there's, you know, learning and earning go together, right? We need to be learning the new, not being scientists. You don't know how, you don't know the physics of your smartphone. If you took it apart, you couldn't name the parts, probably. Some of you could, most of you couldn't. You don't know the physics. That doesn't keep you from using it. See, I want you to be aware of the tools and then look at how can I creatively apply them. And one last thing I'll just mention on AI, and it won't be my last thing, but one more thing on AI, very quickly, and then I'll let you ask me some questions. I just wanted to lay a little groundwork here. And that is that AI can do amazingly bad things, and it can do amazingly good things. I would suggest to all the people that are with us today and watching this, you're good people. I think you're good people. Why don't we use AI to do amazingly good things and at the same time protect ourselves from people doing the amazingly bad things?
Wow, Dan, that's really a great thought, not just on AI, but for life.
Yeah, I want to protect myself from the bad things. By the way, let me give everybody a tip on that right now. You should be doing this right now. AI can copy our voice perfectly. Matter of fact, there's an AI tool. It's in my AI strategies tools report, which you can download for free if you'd like. And that one is 11 Labs. And what you can do is make a perfect copy of your voice. It doesn't take much to do it. And by the way, why would someone want to do that? Well, most people may not. I would, because I travel around the world. So I could be talking just like I am now, except in perfect Chinese or in perfect French, even though I don't know those languages. But let me get back to voice cloning. So you can clone a person's voice. So you may get a call from a grandson or daughter that sounds like them, talks like them, saying, I'm in jail, I need money, send it now. And it sounds just like them. You may send that money. So because we have a trust crisis that is just exploding, and AI is helping to drive that. Again, another topic we might talk about. So, what do I want you all to do? I want you to have a family secret code word that they don't share with anybody. So that if you get somebody, one of your relatives that is calling saying they need help, you'll say, well, what's the code word? And if they don't know, hang up. And by the way, what would be the future of that? A video. I do a FaceTime with you, except it's not me, but it looks like me, talks like me, exactly like me, but it's not me. What's the code word, Dan? Boop, gone. You know what I mean? So
Yes.
that's something I would like you all to do with your family now, is get a family code word together, share it only with the family, and then don't tell anybody about it.
Dan, we've got just a minute or so before we take our break, and I never really got to introduce you to say what
I just kept going.
an amazing person you are. And you are the founder and the president of Burris Research. You also have seven or eight books out there, I know for sure. And one of them, and the two of them that I come to mind, of course, is Flash Forward and the Anticipation Anticipator Organization. And people will learn more about those today. But also just give a I guess I want to say you're a leading futurist, you're a strategic advisor, a disruptive innovation expert. These are all things that you're looking at all the trends, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I know that you've got the a guide that you sent to me, the definitive guide to the top 25 technology trends set to transform your future. So I think what we'll do is we'll take our first break. When we come back, I'm going to AI, of course, is at the top of so many people's, but there are so many other things that are out there that we're going to talk about today. So stay tuned and we will be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I'm the Senior Wealth Advisor and the founder of the Ellenbecker Investment Group. We jumped right into our show the first segment. And so I'm just going to take a minute to have Dan tell you a little bit about him. He's been on the radio now probably for 30 some years with me talking about the future. And so maybe Dan, you can even tell us some of the things that have happened that you predicted that were going to happen, because that's always fun. And of course, the two books that I screwed them up, but Flash Foresight and the Anticipatory Organization. And those were two books, and I know you're working on another one. And sometimes I would think, well, every time I talk with you, Dan, I leave with so much knowledge and so much creativity, and you and I are just like bubbling all the time when we get together. But for my listeners too, you're talking about things that they have words, but they can't always associate things with it. So I'm hoping that that's what they'll gather today as well, to have a little bit deeper understanding of some of the what do you want to say, the trends and the technology trends that you look at and you're constantly evaluating?
Yeah, and I think a really important thing is you don't have to be a technologist to get a handle on what I'm talking about. For example, my last book, The Anticipatory Organization, there's a reason I didn't call it the Reactionary Organization, because most of us are focused in business, especially on being agile. And agility came from sports. It's a reactive strategy. You want to react as quickly as you can to a disruption after it disrupts. You want to react as quickly as you can, the more agile, the better, to a problem after it occurs. And that is kind of like playing defense, if you think of sports. But what I'm teaching people is how to play offense, how to anticipate problems before they happen so you can pre-solve them. Let's face it, so many of us have said, well, I knew that would happen. And I would say, well, then why did you let it? And we can see those disruptions. AI is a major disruption. And you can just sit back with a wait and see attitude and let it disrupt you and your career. Or you can say, oh no, I think I'm going to be a positive disruptor, creating the transformations in my own career as well as in my business that will elevate relevancy and drive innovation and growth. Or I can sit back and let someone else do it for me, and I may not like the consequences. So I think I've really spent all of these decades not just trying to predict the future, and I've got thousands of things that I've been right about because I'm using the hard trend methodology, but more importantly, I don't want to be the only one that can do that. That's why we're on this show. I want you all to realize how much you can see with accuracy when you look out. And the three categories, very quickly, and then we'll talk about those technology trends, but there's three categories of hard trends. And one of them is technology. For example, after we went from 3G wireless to 4G wireless, we got 5G wireless. Is that it? No, next is 6G followed by 7G. And we're putting a lot in the cloud. Is the cloud getting full? No, it's not. And maybe some of you don't like AI. Well, can we just have the government turn it off? No, it's growing at beyond exponential speed. The key isn't turning it off. It's using it in a positive way and building up some protections for yourself and for your organization. So technology is a category. Another one is demographics. For example, we've got 68 million baby boomers. We used to have 78 million, but 10 million have passed away because they're not young anymore. And we know that they're not going to get chronologically younger. They're going to continue to age. And again, what we want to do is, as I said, I'd rather have a good health span. What are the things that we could predict as problems and pre-solve so we don't have them in the first place about ourselves, as well as about others? And the third category, and then we'll get into technology a little bit, is, and this will surprise most of you, is regulations. Because when you have regulations, you have something in play that you can work off of. For example, people would say, well, with all the divisions and government in the United States, you surely can't predict the future of regulations. And you can. You just can't predict all of it. Instead of the things I don't know, which doesn't empower me, what do I want? Things I do know. Instead of things I'm uncertain about, which doesn't give me a good strategy and a lot of risk, I would rather have things I am certain about. So with regulations, will we have more regulations around cybersecurity? Well, yeah. Why? There's some hard trends at play that government can't ignore, but there's a lot of things they can debate. So again, when you start looking at the hard trends, all of a sudden, those bright lights come on, you can see farther down the road.
When you talk about the hard trends and the soft trends, what is the hardest thing in your job that you have to do? What is the thing that is the hardest hurdle for you to overcome when you're looking at these, you know, this side and that side, you know, the yin and yang all the time?
Yeah. The biggest thing is that almost everyone, CEO level as well, by the way, thinks that the only thing you can be certain about is death and taxes. Otherwise, there isn't anything else. And helping them to realize, oh, there's thousands of things you can be certain about, thousands of things. For the last 15 years, I've given probably between 80, 90 keynote speeches a year all over the world. Some audience, last year, my biggest audience was 20,000. My second biggest audience was 10,000. So big audiences as well as some smaller ones. And when I'm speaking at the end, because they start understanding and learning the difference between hard and soft trends, I have each one of them write down one hard trend that will impact their business or their lives and a related opportunity. And I urge them to make it a good one. For example, I just had 1,000 technology CEOs in an audience. So this is from all different companies, 1,000 tech companies, the CEO level. I had them all write down one hard trend and related opportunity. I collect them all. What I do is there will be some soft trends in there because they're just learning how to do it. So I create a report of the hard and the soft with the related opportunities. And then 2 weeks after the event, I send it to them to help them in their planning. And so what am I saying? I've collected thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of hard trends that have proven to be true. I've been doing this for well over a decade. So the challenge is getting people to realize there is such a thing as certainty. Because strategy, based on uncertainty as high risk. Strategy based on certainty as low risk and high reward. So instead of saying nothing certain, I'm saying, what's that list of things you can be certain about? And remember what I've suggested here, a trend by itself is frankly academic, boring, who cares, until you attach an actionable opportunity to it. So, you know, is it something we know will happen or is it something that might happen? And again, I said, if you don't like it, you can change it. Technology, or AI could disrupt my business. By the way, erase the word could. Put in the word will, and quickly, which means a wait and see attitude is not a good thing. And instead of getting all panicky and, oh my God, I'm going to have to lay off all my people and maybe my business, I'm going to close, maybe I better get rid of this thing fast. Instead, what you have to realize is the amazing opportunity that you have right now to be what I called earlier, the positive disruptor. In other words, right now we have the biggest productivity boom that has ever happened on planet Earth right in front of us, and it's low cost. You don't even need to hardly spend any money to do it. So if you could increase all your people's productivity, even if you own a HVAC, plumbing, heating, air conditioning company, and you've got plumbers that are going out, they can be so much more efficient if they were using AI on their smartphone. They could accomplish far more in far less. Getting rid of the repetitive tasks. By the way, and repetitive tasks get kind of boring. So one of the quick things you want to ask yourself is, what are the things that I'm doing over and over again? They're repetitive and they're kind of boring. In the past, 2 years ago, what we would have had to do is have an IT department develop a whole big thing to help us solve that, and they probably wouldn't because they're busy on other things. But today, there are specific tools that could help individuals make that happen. As a matter of fact, if you go to, after this program, if you go to your browser, I don't care what it is, and you type in AIstrategyReport.com, you can get my latest list of tools with case studies of how they're used. Most of them are like 10 bucks. You can try them for free, 20 bucks a month, but it's the best 20 you'll ever spend. I've analyzed over 1,200 tools, and I'm giving you the top five in all of these different categories of things that you do on a daily basis. And you're saying, well, you don't even know the categories. Well, why don't you download the report and take a look? And there's case studies of how companies in all different sizes have used them to their advantage. So instead of spending a lot of time on our short interview going through all those case studies, AIstrategyReport.com. By the way, you also mentioned that my latest list of 25 technology hard trends shaping the future. And you can go to Burrus, B-U-R-R-U-S.com, and download that for free. So I'm not even charging anything. I want to give this to all of you because here's my big goal. And we've talked about this before, but I want to get as many people on planet Earth to be far more anticipatory and far less reactionary. Because if we aren't pre-solving predictable problems before they happen, you and I are not going to be happy campers on planet Earth. If we're not using these fast evolving tools to create a better tomorrow, we may not have a better tomorrow for yourself and for others. So let's be more anticipatory, a little less reactionary.
My guest today is Dan Burrus, and he is a leading futurist, strategic advisor, a disruptive innovator expert. And of course, I love the become a positive disruptor because that was my TED talk, being a positive disruptor. Yep, yep. And you know what? There's so much to it. But you know, when we come back, Dan, what I would love to just explore for a moment is this whole idea of fear, how, you know, people, I always have this little saying that I try to hold on to is live by what you trust, not by what you fear. But when you're talking about this, it all seems so simple. But for people to take that step forward and actually move on it and do something, what stops people from wanting to take advantage of all these tools that you have had and look at them, but actually move on them, actually do something? And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. My guest today is Dan Burris, and he is the president and founder of Burris Research. He's giving you some really great tools, and he'll give them to you again to look into. And, you know, Dan, I ended the last segment with saying, what stops people from being anticipatory? What stops people from taking action on all of this phenomenal research that you provide?
Well, it's a great question. Thank you. One, of course, is, well, you can't predict the future anyway. It's changing so fast. Why bother? Which, of course, a wait and see attitude is not a very good thing. Doesn't serve you too well in a world where things are changing that fast. Another one is it'll be expensive. Yeah, I can't afford it. But as I said, heck, with that list of tools that I'm giving you in that AI strategy report, you can try most of them for free. And it's amazing what they can do in so many different areas. So again, we don't even know what it can do. I was talking to a person who was 25 years old who's not using AI. And this young person said to me, well, I don't know what I would use it for. And I started giving that person some examples. And every time I said something, they were, oh, wow, I didn't know it could do that. Oh, wow, I didn't know it could do that. Holy cow. And I was also over the this last holiday season, I was with some people that are 75, who, of course, aren't using it at all, and started doing the same thing. I had them open up their little laptops and get on, using some AI and gave them some things they could do. Holy cow. They were just amazed at what it could do for them. See, again, and they're using it. Matter of fact, I just got an email, or actually it was a text last night from one of those people, again, the 75-year-old, one of them, who got back to me and said, wow, I'm using it to solve our condo problems right now. I'm using it for our foundation, getting great ideas. Holy cow. So again, I think what we have to do is open our minds to it. It's the fear. And let me give you a little phrase for you. We hear what we fear.
Mm.
So when we're listening for things, instead of listening for the opportunities, the things that we fear stand out bigger. And we tend to focus on the things that we fear. But one thing I found out about fear, because we all fear things, is that when you can really define it and you push on it, you can break through that fear a little bit. You know, I mentioned in the beginning, I've started six companies, and I started out teaching biology, physics, and so on. And when I left teaching, I to start a company, an airplane company, that I didn't know I'd be a test pilot. And I ended up with 37 national locations in the first year, so it did well. But in the beginning, I had this idea for a plane that had never been done before. I'm a teacher. And I had the summer, so that's where I could do it. But the fear was leaving teaching, which I was already successful at, to go into business, which I had no history on. So what's the fear? The fear of failure. So I had the fear of failure, and then I thought to myself, wait a minute, I got more fear than that. Let's lay out all of my fears. And I laid out all of my fears, and there was a fear that was far bigger than failure. And that was the fear of I would be in my 90s and regretting that I didn't do it. The fear of regret was bigger. So I used the fear of regret to get me to start that company. So instead of having fear be our block, have it power you into the future. Lay them all out. See what your fears really are. Put them all out there. And you might find, just like I did, something that will drive you further and faster.
I think that you're talking about the 75-year-olds and the younger people, and one of the fears is that I can't learn it. I'm too old, or even maybe it's moving too quickly. But for me, it's just amazing. I mean, you and I have talked about this on the radio a couple times, and you've been so right. I mean, it's just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, it's so crazy. I'm going to share a personal story with you. And I play a number of musical instruments. You've heard me play with a group and stuff like that. And when I was 23, and I wanted to learn how to play what's called a pedal steel guitar. That's something that has a bunch of pedals and lays down. It's a pretty complex instrument. I already knew how to play a regular guitar. And I remember I was looking at them And I thought to myself, remember, I'm 23. And I thought to myself, oh man, you know what? I'm too, I should have done this when I was 12. I'm too old for this. I'm too old to learn this. And I said that to the sales guy, who was probably in his 30s, but back when you're 23, he looked like he was probably in his 70s to me. But anyway, he said to me, well, look, if you start working on it today, I'll guarantee you that in 6 months, you'll be playing pretty good. And in a year, you'll be using it really well. And I thought, okay, so I bought it. And of course, I ended up using it. And I ended up using it in a band, actually, less than a year. But here I am, 23, and thinking I'm too old. I should have learned this when I was young. See how foolish we are? We're all foolish. So, and we are all smarter than we think we are. And learning something new is a fountain of youth.
Yes.
Gets you excited.
I agree.
You, I mean, learning new things. I love learning new things. And by the way, if you don't like learning new things, if you don't like change, you are not going to like the future. And since you're going to spend the rest of your future, the rest of your life in the future, do you want to spend the rest of your life in a place that you don't like? I want you to think about that. I don't think so. I would rather you spend the rest of your life in a place that you like. That means you got to learn how to turn change into and something positive by, again, maybe I should learn. Starts with taking a single step. There's an old Chinese statement from thousands of years ago. Journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. So start with that single step.
Boy, that is definitely food for thought. Well, you're not going to believe this, but we've only got about one session, one little quarter here left, another 11 or 12 minutes. And so I'm not going to talk at all anymore. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to let you cover some of the other things that we haven't had a chance to, and definitely make another, schedule another interview, because we didn't get to the majority of all the great things that you have here. So we're going to take a break and be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. My guest today is Dan Burris. And I don't know if you're like me, but every time I know that he is going to be on the show, and when I get to see him personally as my friend, I'm just in awe of not only what he shares with us, but how he shares it. Because creating a safe environment to hear and to create a safe environment that people can listen to is so important. And Dan, I just commend you for that. And I thank you for that. And I'm just going to let you go and share more of your knowledge and keep us all on the edge of our seats.
All right. Well, thank you. Well, on that 25 Technology Trends report, you might say, well, I'm not a technologist, or, you know, I don't know. But yeah, I think it's important to just kind of go through it, take a look at it. And I also just don't have a list of technologies. I've got some ways that you can think about it and act on it in that report as well. But let me just give you an example of how you can invent the future. You can start a whole new thing just by looking at it. For example, there's something called the Internet of Things. It's been around for a while. What we're doing is taking little sensors that can sense light, heat, sound, touch, temperature, can sense just about anything. They're getting super inexpensive, very, very small, really small, and wireless, and in many cases, biodegradable. So they're sensors. So you can make anything smart. So to give you data, to give you information. So what might I want to make smart? Well, hey, I am in San Diego now because that's where I spend my winters, but I still live in Wisconsin on a lake in the summer months. Love Wisconsin. And all of us know in the winter, I bet you've all had a battery in your car that died. And when does your battery die? Well, on the coldest of days, like when it's 6 degrees out. Like, I know, you know, we've had some cold spells. And of course, working on your car or being stuck without it running when it's 6 degrees is not fun. We could easily put a sensor on that battery and make it smart. and have it call your cell phone exactly 7 days before it's going to die and say, I need a new battery now. Would that be good? Well, yeah, it would be fantastic. Now, they haven't done it yet. What does that represent? A billion, not a million, $1 billion opportunity. Matter of fact, if you could be a student right now, and if you like that idea, hey, get going on it, start a company, get funding for it. Because when you hear something like that, what do you know? You know that if it can be done, it will be done. And if you don't do it, someone else will. So, and by the way, will we see smart batteries that let us know? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, we will. All right. So another one, a lot of people, when they get older, maybe it's a grandma or a grandpa, or maybe it's a mom or dad, or maybe it's you. When we get into our 90s, especially, a lot of times we fall and we hurt ourselves. Sometimes we get a broken hip, and that can be very bad or painful, expensive. Well, you know, you can make a little sensor that can fit. And by the way, how small a sensor? As small as a fly's eye, and it can be 3D printed. In other words, super small, and it can fit on a little rubber thing that goes around a shoe of that 90-year-old. And so when they're, and it's Bluetooth to their hearing aid. And when they're walking, if there's a step down, it'll say step down. If there's a step up, it'll say step up. If there's Johnny's toy is in the way, it'll say Johnny's toy is in the way again. And we'll have a lot less people falling. Now,
move that rug.
Yeah.
Move the rug.
yeah. Dog in way, you know, that kind of stuff. So the point being here is that doesn't exist now. Is that an opportunity? Yeah. Now, by the way, I'm showing you how to be a disruptive innovator with low risk. Why? Because if you don't do it, someone else will. It's just waiting there. So if you look at my list of these 25 technologies, with your personal opportunity antenna up, thinking about your own life, your own world, or if you're a business person, your business, or if you're retired, what you're going to do in retirement, how am I going to spend these golden years? Because those golden years will not be golden if you don't learn and grow. And so look through them and think a little out of the box, like I'm talking about. Think about demographics. Remember, it's not just old people, it's young people. It's all these different demographics. Think about technology and your world and how you might make it better. See, my vision statement that I carved out over 40 years ago is still true, and that is to get people of all ages excited and involved in using the new tools of technology to build a better tomorrow for themselves and others. Well, I haven't had to change that in 4 decades. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. And I want you to build a better tomorrow for yourselves and for others. And if you're older and you're wondering, how do I learn this stuff? You need a techno mentor. And by the way, what's a techno mentor? It's a kid. It's a kid. Hey, if the high school kids are too expensive, try the elementary school kids. And by the way, as a parent or grandparent, you have been the teacher most of this time with those young kids. Let's reverse the role. Why don't you say, you know, I'd really like to learn this. Can you help me? And you know what? They'll rise. They would love it. Oh, they would love to help grandma or grandpa or mom or dad. You just never ask.
Well, in many ways, you're also teaching them to learn. And they're going to learn through that process. It's not just for you. And it'll give them confidence to go on and do other things and to be creative and be their own positive disruptor.
Well, absolutely. I know that I'm very blessed, Karen, that I know why I've been put on the planet. I've been put on the planet to teach. And I can tell you right now, no one learns more than the person that's the teacher. Because teaching and learning is the same thing. It's a two-way spiral. So I'm not going to go through all of the technologies. There are so many amazing technologies. One of them, I'll just cover one more real quickly. I think I've got a few minutes on that.
And, you've got 7 minutes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I needed that. yeah, exactly. So augmented thinking is one of the keys that I wanted to talk about. Augmented thinking. Now, when you read that, you might say, oh, that sounds too deep a subject for me. Well, wait. You should read a little bit about what I have in there. Let me explain it to you now in this interview. And that is, this is where AI and humans work together. So let's say that you know someone that has cancer, heaven forbid. And the kind of doctor that works with you is an oncologist. And right now, AI has studied and ingested and learned all there is to know about oncology, all the chemotherapies that have ever been tried, what worked, what didn't, all the genomes, all the different stuff. It knows far more than any doctor, than any living doctor. So let's say that you have this person that has cancer. I'm going to give you three choices. Choice number one, a really good oncologist. Choice number two, just AI. Choice number three, a really good oncologist that has access to AI. Bingo. That's what I call augmented thinking. I'm not replacing the doctor. What I'm actually doing is making them smarter and better by working together. For those that know a little bit about biology, and I did teach that subject long ago, there's something called symbiosis. And that's where you have two different creatures, two different animals that need each other to survive. They work together, they live together, but they're actually different. So in this case, AI will be that way. So let's say that I am a plumber and I'm going in and I'm a fairly new plumber and I'm going into your basement because Wisconsin has basements and you've got some plumbing problem down there and I'm not really sure what that plumbing problem is. Well, I'll have a little small camera, 8K, small, right on my my little hat, and it'll be Bluetooth to my earphone, which is Bluetooth to my phone, which has got AI in it. And what I'll be doing is I'll be getting tips and help from AI on how to diagnose the problem, because I'm a young, new plumber without a lot of experience. And it might say, all right, this is what you have to do. Step one is this. Step two is this. Step three is this. And then as you uncover problems in there, well, remember, the AI has gone through all of that company's database and all the problems they've solved and all of that and sucked it in so that it can help you with that. Oh, you actually need filter number 407. And by the way, that filter is in your car, in your truck right now. You can go out and get it. Well, what do we got? We got a plumber using AI, augmented thinking. Good. By the way, the plumber will be a better plumber, work faster, and so on. I'm just saying we all are going to be assisted with it, getting rid of a lot of the mistakes that we might have made, which could have taken our time. And with AI and all these AI tools, I do want to make sure I mention a couple of things. Number one, it'll get you 80% to whatever you're trying to do fast, 80% fast, not 100%. It's a first draft assistant, not a last draft. We need you for that last 20%. So if you're trying to write an article or a book, instead of having it write it for you, which will be good, but not as good as if you didn't put in your 20% to make it far better. Instead of starting from zero, you're going to start from 80%. You've got to analyze all of these Excel spreadsheets and try to make sense out of it. Well, have AI help you, but it'll get you 80%. They're not 100% there. By the way, that's called making everybody a lot more efficient.
And by using it, it starts to learn your way of speaking, your way of thinking. And I have found that it gets closer and closer each time to the things that I've put in and the things that I've been doing in the past.
Yeah, exactly. And
it almost becomes like this human person that knows you.
Yeah, exactly. But remember, it can give you information that's not fully accurate. That's where that 20% comes. Yeah. I got to check my facts. I got to check everything. I mean, you're on the radio, you understand, and you also are an advisor. I am an advisor and a speaker and consultant, and I have to double and triple check from different sources anything that I'm sharing with people because of something that is so powerful and a good thing to talk about as we get close to the end of this. And that is trust. I don't want to have trust lowered. I want to elevate trust wherever possible. So if I'm giving you something I quickly read off the internet, which means I'm already at risk of being wrong, and then people will find that out, I need to double check. So I want to elevate trust because the future is all about relationships, We live in a technological world, but we live in a human world. And it's all based on trust and relationships. So
Dan,
let's
we
save
just
for
heard
better
right at the
tomorrow.
end. Can you give your webpage out again and how they can get to these two different
Yep.
articles that you've given?
Absolutely. Go to burrus.com and you can find my 25 Tech Trends report. You can find thousands of blogs. You could read any and search them by subject. You can find my books there if you'd like, or go to Amazon. And you can download my AI tools report, which I really advise you to do, by going to AIStrategyReport.com.
My guest today is Dan Burrus. He is a leading futurist, a strategic advisor. He also, as he talked about today, the whole concept of positive disruption. He's a disruptive innovator expert, and he's got his two great books that he talked about. And unfortunately, we're at the end of the show, so I've got to say goodbye. And as always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always, always listen. Have a great weekend. Bye.